So I went down to my favorite store, picked out three or four shirts or more, a pair of pants and a striped tie, and the man came by and said, yes, sir, cash or charge? I said, just put it on my credit card.
Does anyone use cash anymore? Our guest plans to use cash all the time from now on and ditch his credit cards, and we will find out why this hour and wonder if you would consider this too. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 2nd. So do you use credit cards for just about everything, even at the grocery store? I'm guilty of that. Do you rarely use your credit cards, maybe only for, you know, some major purchase like an airline ticket or something like that, or somewhere in between? We will welcome your thoughts and questions about the pros and cons of using credit cards at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page, or get a hold of us on Twitter at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Brent Ahrens. He is senior columnist for MarketWatch and a personal finance columnist for the Wall Street Journal. His books include Stormproof Your Money, Weather Any Economy, Rebuild Your Portfolio, and Protect Your Future. And his column is linked to our program notes. We've also provided a link to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we are going to talk about his column that we noticed that was entitled, 10 Reasons I'm Canceling My Credit Cards. And Brent Ahrens joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. It's Brett rather than Brent.
I'm very sorry. I'm very sorry, Brett.
Quite all right.
So, Brett, why do you want to cancel your credit cards? Are you serious? Are you really going to do this?
Oh yes, yes, I am serious. I hate credit cards. I've got to the point where, I tried last winter for an experiment for a number of months, not using credit cards at all, and I bank at a credit union and a nonprofit credit union, and I went in every week and I wrote out a check for cash, just like I remember my father doing back in the day. And I was really surprised at how quickly my spending rate fell. I just spent far less money. It is sort of automatic budgeting, and you actually, the money is tangible, you know, it's in your hand, and it is so much harder to spend money when you have to hand over cash. Now, for a number of reasons, including the fact I was traveling and work and so forth, I only ran the experiment for a few months. But then this summer, early this summer, there was a news report that came out in the Times, I think it was, that the Federal Reserve was basically cutting back on printing dollar bills because no one uses them anymore. You know, we're all using credit cards. And I just thought, oh, this is such a disastrous move. I mean, we've seen the effect of too much spending. I mean, this is, you know, we have a spending problem in this country. And I'm convinced, absolutely convinced, and there's some scientific research and evidence to back this up, that plastic credit cards and debit cards, but particularly credit cards, you know, play a major role in that. So, you know, essentially, I have been on book leave this summer, and I, again, have been traveling, but I am now taking steps. I mean, I don't carry any kind of credit card with me on a day-to-day basis. It's harder when you travel, and I'm still trying to get my head around the strategies for dealing with that. But essentially, on a day-to-day basis, I don't use credit cards. I don't carry them. I just use cash.
Yeah. What about the airline miles that I can collect, or you know, what some other perks and bonuses that I can get by using my credit cards?
I understand how you're thinking about that. Most people, I think, think like you, and I used to, but I realized that actually the amount of money that I, you know, that you're wasting on credit cards vastly swamps any of these benefits. What I mean, there's two kinds of benefits to the credit cards. There's the sign up benefit, and then there's the frequent flyer miles for each purchase. The sign up benefits can be incredibly lucrative, but the actual, after that, the benefit you get back from the frequent flyer miles, they work out, I mean, I've done the math and I've written articles about this, they work out at about 1.5% 2%. If you are really, really smart, you know, if you basically, you get, you know, you get the credit card that works with the airline that is, you know, the best airline for you, and you are really savvy about using those miles, and you plan in advance and all the rest of it, you're going to get back about 2%. Well, you are probably going to waste more than 2%. I mean, if your experience is like me, moving from cards to cash will cut your expenditure by a lot more than 2%.
Yeah, I'm also guilty of not redeeming these miles ever. I mean, sometimes it's a hassle. There's blackout dates, and I just kind of, you know, got out of the habit of even checking. So
I know. The best card I found, there are a number of cards that essentially give you money in an investment account. For example, Fidelity Investments has a card. I think Schwab has a card, and you know, I did the math on this, and this actually worked out to be basically better for 90% of the public. You know, a lot of personal finance writing is, and a lot of commentary is sort of based, I think they just live in the clouds. It's always, you know, it's always this kind of stuff, says, well, you know, sit down and make a budget. You know, go through your last 2 years worth of expenses, or, you know, plan. And, you know, we don't tend to do these things. I mean, I don't know, maybe some people do, but I don't. And, you know, a lot of times in actual day-to-day life, you don't get the benefits of a lot of these things. You know, I find I have frequent flyer miles. It takes forever to use them because every time you actually want to use them, you know, it you're too close to the period it takes off. It's going to cost you almost as much. Well, you don't save that much. You look at it and you say, well, wait a second. With the fees, because I'm booking within 3 weeks, it's going to cost me, you know, $200 anyway, and I can buy a ticket from someone else and not use any of my miles for 250 miles. So the miles just sit there.
What about the cash rewards, though? I do have an American Express, and I use it at the Costco warehouse mostly. And you get cash back after it's at the end of the year. But I just got a check for a couple hundred dollars.
Well, what was that as a percentage of the amount you spent?
I don't know.
Well,
I'm sure I spent more than I needed on giant things at Costco.
This is the thing. I can guarantee you. Listen, many years ago, I was a consultant, and it was a real eye opener because we had some marketing experts come in to explain marketing to us. I was one of these people who wasn't hired from an MBA program. I was actually doing a doctoral program at Oxford, and I was picked up by McKinsey, and they had to sort of give us a sort of crash course in MBA stuff. So we had some marketing gurus come in, and it was absolutely, I was just sat there stunned. I mean, having been a history student, at the sophistication of propaganda and manipulation. The marketing people, you know, are playing us like violins the whole time. And, you know, when they sit there and say, oh, we'll give you cash back, you know, they know exactly how to, you know, play on your hopes and your dreams and all the rest of it to get the maximum result out of you. And the truth is, you know, I mean, you didn't even know what the percentage was. I can guarantee you that 95% of people, and I'm probably lowballing it, spend far more, you know, in excess than they get in the cash back. In other words, the card, you know, will induce them to waste another $300, and they'll get back $110 at the end of the year. You know, it's. I mean, I put it to someone. I said, you know, probably the number one, you know, killer for me was, you know, going into CVS because I needed to get toothpaste, and coming out with $48 worth of stuff, and you think, how did that happen? And it's not obvious luxuries. It's just lots of things that are sort of marginal. You know, when you actually say, do you really need that? Maybe you should wait, and if you really need it. And the truth is, when you carry cash, you are very constrained. You have X amount of cash in your hand, and you say, well, I can't, you know, if I spend that extra $20 here, that's $20 I don't have, you know, for the rest of the week.
And the rub of all this is that I use that cash back from American Express to buy even more junk at Costco.
So of course.
Including a giant box of Reese's peanut butter cups. Now, I did not need that, but Amanda Magnus, our new producer, likes peanut butter cups, so that was my little welcome gift to her. So, but it you're right. I mean, I got this money back, and then I just spent it on things that weren't all that necessary. What though if you're paying off your credit card each month? I don't I don't carry over any balance whatsoever. I always pay it off, and it's just instead of writing a check every place, sure. I'm just writing a check at the end of the month.
Well, listen, I mean, when you take a step back, because I mean, I pay off my credit card every month. If someone is carrying a balance on a credit card, that's a disaster. I mean, the interest rates on these things, 15%, 20%, in many cases even higher. I've seen 30%. And they have all these various tricks to sort of get you basically to sort of shift you onto the higher rates of interest, some of which were addressed by the new credit card laws the last couple of years. If you're carrying a balance on a credit card, I mean, paying that off is just absolutely, it has to be priority number one. Forget the amount you spend and all the rest of it. The interest rate you are paying means you're basically going backwards. You have absolutely no chance to go forward. There is simply no way you're going to make, even if you are the best investment managers in the world, the sort of super investors, the Warren Buffetts of the world, don't make enough year after year to beat the rate of interest on a credit card. You're going backwards. You have to pay that off, even if it means you're eating ramen noodles for the next 3 months and you've canceled cable TV. But getting out of credit cards, getting out of credit card debt is just priority number one. I mean, what I was talking about, canceling credit cards, doesn't even get into that because I don't run a balance on my credit card and never would. But I understand people do. I understand people got into trouble. All I can say on that is you have to get out of credit card debt before you think about anything else in your personal finance, before contributing to your 401k at work, before any, I mean, almost anything. I mean, I suppose, life insurance, if you are the only breadwinner of the family, those kind of things. But getting out of that credit card debt, that's really priority number one. And that's actually not even, I wasn't even addressing that. Mm-hmm. That is a separate issue. I mean, that's where they make the money, to be honest. That is where they want us all to carry credit cards, and they want us to get into credit card debt. And I've noticed, interesting, that, various cards, they have online payment systems, and, some actually are play sort of fair. And others, I mean, it's fascinating. One card, that I've had, and it says, do you want to pay this bill? And when you look at it, the amount it's going to pay is just the minimum. And you have to sort of dig through the online screens to find out the total balance in order to pay the total balance. If you just click, auto pay, I just want to pay this card, it will only pay the minimum and will carry over the rest as a loan at, 15%. And, of course, you're paying that 15% with after-tax dollars. It's not like your mortgage. So, essentially, you are... you have to basically earn 20% or 18%, in order just to stay level.
Brett Ahrens is senior columnist for MarketWatch. He is the personal finance columnist for the Wall Street Journal. His books include Stormproof Your Money, Weather Any Economy, Rebuild Your Portfolio, Protect Your Future. And we are talking about the 10 reasons he is canceling his credit cards. Talking about why he does not use credit cards on a daily basis anymore at all, and he is going all cash. And we wonder what you think, what questions you have. Do you do it his way or my way? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Checking the weather forecast for today, it's going to be warm and humid with showers and storms likely in central Wisconsin, moving to southern Wisconsin tonight. Tomorrow and Sunday, not as warm, showers and thunderstorms likely in the far south. There is just a chance everywhere else this weekend. Highs in the 70s on Saturday and Sunday, and then cooler still on Labor Day. It'll be mostly sunny, mostly clear on Labor Day with highs in the mid-60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you'll stay with us. Coming up after 8, it's the Week in Review. Two guests, different perspectives, to talk about all the top political news stories of the week. And a similar conversation after 4 this afternoon. Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins. It's your views on the news every Friday after 4. You can call in with your thoughts about the week's biggest news story in your view. Your views on the news after 4. Right now, we're talking about credit cards. And our guest says it may be time to rethink our financial relationship with plastic. And he's offering us 10 reasons to cancel our credit cards, including that we will end up spending less overall, and the credit card bonuses not being worth it, and how cash makes it easier to budget. We will get into more of the reasons in just a bit, but I wanted to ask you, Brett, a caller who couldn't stay on the line, Cindy in Burlington, wants to know what you think of debit cards. Can they be used instead of a credit card? Are debit cards okay?
Well, I mean, I suppose to the point that a debit card only takes money out of your account that you have. In other words, you can't spend money that you don't have. They avoid that problem. They avoid the problem they're not as bad as credit cards, I think is probably the best way of putting it. But it's still fundamentally the same problem, which is that you're not handling the actual money. You know, I believe that it is credit cards have changed our relationship with the money we earn, and I think it has really broken that psychological bond. You know, I have to earn $100 to spend $100. I have to earn $50. You know, you handle this money and say, I earned this money. Instead, you know, you go to work and you don't see the money. You don't see the money you make. You don't see the dollars, $10, $100 bills you make. And then you go out and shop and you don't see the money you spend. And it's all sort of invisible. It's all behind the scenes. And it's clean and it's simple and it's convenient. And the net result is that as a nation, we spend far, far more than we did a generation ago. I mean, the changes have been just astonishing. And it's a major cause of the economic and financial troubles we're in at the moment. Too much spending, a lack of focus on what we earn rather than what we spend. And, you know, and I think that this, the fact that we've moved to plastic, away from paper and to plastic, has been a really bad move, and I think debit cards are part of that. I mean, I don't. Debit cards are not quite as bad as credit cards, but they're still bad. I mean, as I said, I actually, you know, go into my local credit union and I write out a check, and you say, "Oh, that's, you know, that's a pain in the neck," and the answer is yes, it is a pain in the neck. You know, and that's the point is I've reintroduced friction into the process. You know, I have to go in there, and I can, you know, I can go into a shop and I can say, you know, see something that I quite like, say, oh, that'd be good, that, you know, I like that, you know, that jacket or whatever, and I don't have the money on me. And I think, oh, I've got to go to the credit union to write out a check. Oh, what a pain in the neck. Well, by the time you've gone to the credit union and you've got the checkbook, you think, you know what, actually, I don't need another jacket.
Yeah.
And you don't spend the money.
Laverne in Monroe is our next caller. Hello, Laverne.
Good morning, Joy. This is a great program. You should have had this guy on before.
Yes, we should have, and we'll do it again, though. Go ahead, Laverne.
You're very kind.
I'm in my 70s, and I've never had a credit card.
Never, ever.
Good for you.
Never,
good
and
you.
If I travel, I use the traveler's checks.
Yep.
I use carry some money around my billfold for groceries and so forth. If I have to have something bigger, I'll use a bank check.
Yep.
And I understand that we've been so brainwashed. Is that right, that the average person has 8 credit cards, or what is the number? I mean, you're right in what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't know if the average is 8. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, it amazes me. I mean, you know, although when you make me think of my dad, did not have a credit card into his 50s. He had a small business, a successful small business in New Hampshire, and you know, every few days he'd go to the bank and he'd hand over a check and he'd get cash and he'd put it in his pocket and that was it. And I remember when he went to the bank, finally his friend said, you know, he was like 55, and his friend said, you know, you really should have a credit card for when you travel. And you know, he went, I mean, he actually, what was interesting is that this was in the 80s. He had to go through all sorts of hoops. I mean, this is a guy who ran his a very successful small business, you know, through his local bank. He'd been at the same bank for like 15 years, and the bank was still like, well, you know, can you provide us with some references? He was like, are you kidding me? You know, so it's sort of 25, 30 years ago, it was still difficult to get credit. you know, I had a conversation. I mean, what Lamar was just saying is absolutely, it's a different generation. It was absolutely, you know, up until 35 years ago, we didn't have credit cards. And up until probably a generation ago, very few people had credit cards. And now everyone has, you know, six or eight. And we sort of have a part of life. And they're handed out without any sort of sense of, you know, responsibility. I had a conversation with a senior figure in the banking industry here in Massachusetts back during, in 2005, when, I mean, there's no other way of putting it, the banking industry was buying a new bankruptcy law. Congress was passing, the banking industry showered Congress with goodies, and Congress passed a new bankruptcy law, tightening up on the bankruptcy restrictions. And this guy said, you know, we had a conversation about it, and he was trying to persuade me unsuccessfully to write an article supporting the industry, and for the Boston Herald at the time. And he said, we've got to cut down on these deadbeats, you know, walking away from their bad debts. And I said, I'll change his name. I'll call him Bob. I said, I've got a great idea, a great way for you to cut down on deadbeats walking away from their debts and costing the banks a lot of money. And I said, you won't have to change the law at all. And he said, what? I said, stop lending them money. stop handing out credit cards to college kids. You know, stop handing out credit cards to people who have no proven track record of handing credit. But, you know, they've known what they're doing. I mean, all the analysis, what is shocking is all the analysis says the money they make charging people late fees and high interest covers the cost of the bad debts. I mean, it's not that different from the crack industry. I mean, they are basically handing out dime bags to get people hooked.
We have a news break coming up in just a minute. Can you get a car loan or a home loan if you don't have a history with credit card and credit cards?
These are real challenges, and I don't have perfect answers to that. Mm-hmm. The whole credit, you know, the logic of this, I mean, the inexorable logic is that everyone then has to borrow money in order to have a credit rating, in order to be able to, you know, get home loan or whatever. The first point to make is that, you know, we borrow too much money anyway. The second point is, you know, if you build relationships with institutions, local institutions, you have a better shot at this. I mean,
yeah, let me hold you there because we do have news coming up, and we'll continue after we check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio. Cash or credit? It's the question after the news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. How often do you use your credit cards? Do you use them for lots of things, just about everything? Or do you use them as rarely as possible or somewhere in between? We are talking with our guest who says he is saving money, and you will too, and a whole lot more, if you ditch your daily credit card use or cancel your credit cards altogether. We are talking about his 10 reasons why he plans to go with cash only this hour. And we welcome your thoughts and questions about this as we talk about the pitfalls of credit cards. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Brett Ahrens, senior columnist for Market Watch. He is a personal finance columnist for the Wall Street Journal. His books include Stormproof Your Money, Weather Any Economy, Rebuild Your Portfolio, and Protect Your Future. And we have lots of callers, but we were talking just a bit before news time. You were making a point about whether or not you had to have credit in order to get credit, and I just wanted to let you conclude your thoughts on that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a trap they've got us into, is that you get, you know, the point where you have to have credit, and then you have to have credit to have credit. I mean, it's bizarre because a lot of this credit rating stuff has actually got very little real relation with your ability to pay off debt. They're phony numbers. It's sort of TSA financing, you know, the sort of box ticking process we're used to in the case of the TSA. I mean, imagine the TSA running your finances. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've spoken to the people at Fair Isaac who are do this with the FICO scores, and they will say privately that this thing is out of control, and it was never supposed to be, you know, this widely used. Certainly, if you have, you know, borrowed lots of money and you carry on borrowing lots of money, you can find it easier to borrow more money. However, if you don't want to go down that road, my argument is you will just end up saving a lot more money in the long term. There are obviously inconveniences. And, for example, getting a car loan, you're just better off buying, you know, I'm not a fan of car loans. I think you should save up and buy a car cash, and you can get a very cheap car cash rather than, leasing or financing allows people to buy, you know, a much more expensive car than they need or can afford.
Martina in Toma is with us next. Hello, Martina.
Hello, Joy. Thank you for taking my call this morning.
Hey,
hi, Brett. I had some huge life changes over the last couple of years, and I've moved across the back and forth across the country, and so I've been really simplifying my life to the point where I don't even have, you know, massive amounts of furniture or anything anymore. And it's been really liberating for me personally, and part of the liberation is to switch to cash from credit cards. And
Why is it liberating? Tell me why it's liberating. I'm fascinated by this. This is wonderful, wonderful news. Some music to my ears. But tell me why, how you found it liberating.
Because, as George Carlin says, I don't have to worry about my stuff.
Yep.
You know?
I'm glad it was that George Carlin said. That
one of the seven words, right? But no, and you know, I'm actually contemplating buying more stuff, right? A couch, and I'm freaking out because what if I move again? I actually may move back to New Mexico. So, but part of that is unplugging from the marketing consumerism that we constantly need the newest thing. I don't even own an iPhone. You know, I'd be happy with a jitterbug, to be honest.
Yep.
And I could care less about iPads or whatever, really.
Yep.
And you know, I've chosen to focus my life and the time I have left on this earth with enriching myself as a person and maintaining relationships rather than things and experiences in my life, traveling, you know. And I really like what you said about the bankruptcy thing, because I've done work in the bankruptcy field, and overwhelmingly it is credit card debt. Medical expenses come in second, but yeah, there's people walking around with $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 in credit card debt, and they are in complete denial about, you know, and I'm going, you know, the next step for you is really bankruptcy, and they're like, well, you know, maybe we could do this, negotiate, and it's like, no, there is no more negotiation for you. And sitting up at night watching QVC, oh yeah, let me punch in six numbers, and yeah, this pair of boots.
Yep.
You know, will show up on my door.
Martina, have you found, though, any major inconvenience not having a credit card or not using a credit card, like perhaps a business that only wants credit cards?
No, because then I would not patronize that business.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the local thing also. Like, I can go to farmer's market and buy food, but, you know, I'm not going to pay for it with a credit card.
Right,
I'm going to pay for it. Cash.
And I should clarify, I've seen some restaurants and other businesses that will say no checks. They preferred credit cards. But I guess if you just gave them regular cash, that would be just fine. Brett, any comment on Martina's comments?
It's absolutely fascinating. It's, music to my ears. You know, Martina, you're so on the right track. And it's just terrific to hear your story because, you know, sometimes I look around and I think, am I missing something? Everyone has got to be. I mean, the new iPhone comes out. I mean, this is one of my favorite sort of anecdotes about how nuts we are as a society now. The new iPhone came out last year, and there was a line around the block at every Apple store to get the new iPhone. And I got this research notes from a couple of Wall Street analysts who cover Apple, and they'd done some research. And they said, oh, look at the brand loyalty. 75% of the first buyers of iPhones already had an iPhone. And I said, are you telling me three-quarters of the people who were standing in a line to buy a telephone already owned the previous version? I mean, the differences between them were so slight, and these people are standing in line? And, I mean, so the consumerism, the credit card is part of that whole consumerism world that has really taken over, and I think we sort of wandered into this without really understanding what it's done to us as a society, what it does to people's lives, what it does to our values. We've become a very, you know, superficial and very, day-to-day kind of culture. Martina's talking about, you know, basically unplugging herself from, I think she called it, this is the whole marketing consumerist world. I mean, it sounds sort of so new agey, but it's actually very traditional in a sense. We did not used to have anything like this amount of stuff and this amount of spending. And all the research that's been done has found that the old line, money doesn't buy you happiness. Well, it doesn't, and stuff doesn't buy you happiness. And it's kind of like a drug, is that you have to keep on shopping to keep getting that fix. We get bored of stuff very quickly. Experiences have a much longer and richer payoff. Money spent, visiting the Grand Canyon with your family will give you a much deeper and longer psychological payoff than buying a new flat-screen TV, for example, which you'll be bored of within 6 months. An old friend of mine, actually, who was actually at Oxford with me, now I found his name during some research, and he's now working at Imperial College in London. He's the head of the business school, and he's been doing, Robert McCulloch, he and a guy at Harvard have been doing a whole bunch of research on something that's called Easterlin's Paradox. It was first started in the 70s, Richard Easterlin was an economist who found that as societies got richer, they didn't get any happier. That we were richer than we were a generation ago, but we weren't any happier. And that once you've satisfied basic material needs, societies, you know, even when you accumulate more and more money, it doesn't buy more happiness. There's all sorts of things that we sort of assume, we just need more money, we need more growth, we need more this, we need more stuff. And, you know, you're on a treadmill. I mean, it's actually, economists call it the hedonic treadmill. You're on a treadmill. And there's all sorts of things that lead from that. But part of it is the idea that, you know, we have these credit cards, we rush out, we buy things, it's very easy to buy things, and it's very addictive. And, if you thought, my wife once put it to me very well, she said, I wish I could have back. She'd been talking to a girlfriend she was at school with. They said, we both wish we could have back all the money we wasted on cell phones over the years. And it really makes you think.
And I won't tell you that I just bought my first smartphone. Let's forget about that. And Steve in Madison wants to know, Brett, how do you rent a car at the airport or buy stuff online without a credit card?
Now, this is a work in progress, Steve, so I'm going to be posting regular articles about this as I explore this and go through this and experience it firsthand. In terms of buying stuff online, so when it comes to renting cars, I'll have to you'll have to stay tuned. But in terms of buying stuff online, what you can do, and it's a sort of a hybrid, is if you what I have started doing is I have gone into CVS, gone into a drugstore with some cash, and I have purchased a prepaid credit card that I keep in a drawer at home. And that is, it actually doesn't cost very much. It costs a few dollars. And essentially, the money is paid in advance. Mm-hmm. And this allows you, if you want to have access to online shopping or online, you want to be able to, download a movie at home or various other things. I mean, there's no question that there are all sorts of things online that online shopping that may be valuable for you as a person, as a consumer. You can get access to this, but you are paying the money in advance. You're actually handing over the cash. And that, again, one of the things I find most sort of disheartening about the credit card is that with the best will in the world, I suspect everybody else has the same experience I do. Every month you open the statement and you go, what? I spent how much? And, if you pay the money in advance, you say, right, I'm going to put $250 in advance on a prepaid Visa card, and it's going to be in a drawer at home. If I need to go on the internet, I need to want to buy some books, and they're only available on Amazon, I can get them from Amazon. You will avoid that shock because once you've spent $250, you're out of money.
There it goes.
And you won't open a statement a month later and find you spent $700 or $2,000 or whatever on your credit card.
We need to take a short pause and check our weather forecast. There is a severe thunderstorm watch posted for parts of southwestern Wisconsin until 11 o'clock this morning. And a severe thunderstorm warning is in effect for portions of Vernon, Jackson, La Crosse, Monroe, and Trumbull counties until 8:15 this morning. Radar shows a storm capable of producing penny-sized hail and winds in excess of 60 miles per per hour. It's moving east at 65 miles per hour. It's going to be a warm, humid day today with showers and storms likely in central Wisconsin, moving to southern Wisconsin tonight, tomorrow, and Sunday. Not as warm. Showers and thunderstorms likely in the far south tomorrow. Just a chance elsewhere for the rest of the weekend. Highs tomorrow in the 70s. And on Labor Day, mostly clear with highs in the mid-60s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, hoping you will stay with us for the Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. We'll have two guests from different political viewpoints, and we'll talk about the growing field of candidates in Wisconsin's U.S. Senate race, the debate over President Obama's upcoming speech on jobs and the economy, and some other top state and national news coming up in our Week in Review after 8 o'clock. We are talking about rethinking our financial relationship with plastic and talking with a guest who is canceling his credit cards and trying to go cash only from now on. He is Brett Ahrens, senior columnist for MarketWatch and a personal finance columnist for The Wall Street Journal. His books include Stormproof Your Money, Weather Any Economy, Rebuild Your Portfolio, and Protect Your Future. And we have many callers still in line, but I wanted to talk to you about one of the other reasons why it's a good idea to, use your credit cards less often or cancel them altogether. And I wanted to mention this story about a good friend of mine who used a credit card at a gas station, the only time she used this particular credit card, and was notified just days later that particular credit card was the number had been stolen somehow, and she had, you know, all sorts of charges racked up. I think she was protected against having to pay all of it, but somebody stole her credit card number. And you say that if you don't have that credit card, you might not have to worry about that, and you have to worry less about identity theft altogether.
Identity theft is another great thing you don't have to worry about if you don't use cards. Paper dollars are anonymous, and you're not leaving a trail. I'm sort of a short while ago I was writing an article actually about Whitey Bulger, the Boston gangster who eventually turned up in California, and I was sort of fascinated at how he dropped off the grid for so long. And I spoke to a number of guys who essentially skip tracers. They track people. They trace people. They track them down. Some experts in the field, and it was fascinating to me to realize just how we are now monitored, sort of all the time. I mean, what we buy, where we are, what we're doing. And we've sort of sleepwalked into this world in which we essentially nothing is private and nothing is necessarily secure. And part of that is, you are vulnerable to identity theft because we're now leaving fingerprints everywhere. We're basically, constantly handing people our social security number or our credit card number and what's your phone number? What's your zip code? I go into a store and they want to know my phone number and my address. And, mm-hmm. And I say to them, you don't want to disagree with someone. I say, well, why do you want that? I mean, I'm buying toothpaste. Why do you need my zip code? And, we have a world now of identity theft, which is a serious problem. I know someone who was a victim of it. I found many years ago, and I lived in London, my bank called me up and said somebody had walked into a branch of the bank with a fake passport, pretending to be me, and had tried to withdraw all my money from my account.
Oh, my goodness.
And, I shred all the documents that I get sent. It's such a heavy burden that I've actually broken shredders. I mean, shredders break under the burden of all this.
And under the burden of shredding all of the credit card offers that you get in the mail.
Oh, no kidding. And not only that, I mean, they send me these, we're sending you a few free checks to help with your expenses. And you look in the fine print and it's, it triggers an interest rate of 30%.
Yeah.
I mean, these people, it really, it just shouldn't be legal to do these things. I mean, these really are just... These are economic activities that the banks engage in that have no social benefits. They are purely, negative. But identity theft, there's no question that is a risk. And one of the benefits, or two of the benefits, I suppose you could say, of cash, one is that you minimize the risk of identity theft, and two is it's just anonymous, is you're not leaving fingerprints. I mean, I don't really think it's anyone's business, you know, if I go in and buy toothpaste. I mean, I just, you know, I know it doesn't matter that, you know, a company somewhere knows, oh, you know, Mr. Aaron spends a lot more money on toothpaste than, or this is his favorite brand, or, you know, he likes this type of coffee at Starbucks or the rest of it. But it just, you know, part of it is like, I don't want anyone watching me. It's none of your business.
We have another caller, Debbie in New London. Hello, Debbie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Well,
thanks for calling, Debbie. It sounds like you are a pro at not using your credit card.
Well, I listened to your show, and my husband and I just smiled at each other, and we said, oh, my gosh, the world's going to follow Lance and Debbie. I'm kind of piggybacking on what Martina said so very long ago, except that my husband and I have been doing this for 29 years.
Oh, good for you.
We have a credit card, and but we use it when we travel to make hotel reservations and to rent a car. But otherwise, it just sits in an envelope at home. We have a debit card, and we use that when we go traveling to other countries because it is so easy to get money in a foreign currency in an ATM machine. So we use it for that, and that is a godsend. And then Lance purchases online, and so it's easier to use a credit card there. But we don't carry a checkbook at all. It stays in the drawer in the desk, and I go to the bank once a month and get out cash. We put it in a money envelope. We keep it in a file drawer. My husband knows where it is. I know where it is. Nobody else knows where it is. When you're going to go out, you take what you think you're going to need. If you don't have enough money, like your guest said, if you don't have enough money, then I guess you just don't buy that day.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. We also have another money envelope someplace else hidden in the house for if we wanted to make a big purchase. So if we go to Best Buy and we're going to, like when we bought our flat screen TV, you know, we come in with the $600 or the $800 that we need, and they kind of look at us and they're like, "Yeah, well, that's okay. So, but if I bring it back, you're going to give me the cash back that I just gave you. So that's a whole lot easier too. And I guess my husband and I just don't really understand why people don't do that. We buy used cars, always have. There's money in our money market. When we see the used car that we want, we write out a check. They look at us. It's really hard sometimes to get that number written in words on the second line. But you can do it.
Thank you, Debbie, so much. She's really got a lot of tips here. And I want one more. Let me fit one more call in before we're done because there's some great success stories here. Amy in Peshtigo. Similar story with you, Amy?
Yeah. I was just saying that we've been doing it for about 2 years now. Since before that, we were pretty much stretching it from month to month. And since we've done it, and it took a while for us to get into it, you know, you got to give yourself some slack. You got to cut yourself some slack, some learning curves here. But we've been able to save and put an extra $10,000 down on the house and save at least an extra $10,000 into our retirement fund, and it's money that's there, and that's where we really want it to go. We don't want it to go to, you know, the extra sundries at the gas station or the, you know, the extra little things that you pick up at the register.
Yeah, and thank you, Amy. So you are not alone, Brett. We have,
these are fantastic stories. I mean, this is, it's got a real reaction from people. I would love if everyone who has stories about this could email me. I mean, you can email me in confidence. I'm not going to just sort of randomly sort of put you in an article, but I wouldn't publish your name without, you know, agreeing with you, but I want to hear your stories. These are absolutely fascinating, particularly Martina, Debbie, and Amy are just fascinating. I would love to hear more details about how you've experienced this, but everyone else who's had experiences, positive and negative, I would love to hear from you. It's Brett with two T's, brett.arends@wsj for wallstreetjournal.com, brett.arends@wsj.com. Please do email me your stories. I'm fascinated by this. It is so good to hear about people who are doing this and making it work. I really do think the credit card has been a disastrous investment, invention. It's the sort of law of unintended consequences. You know, yes, it's made it easier to do the things we were already doing. Unfortunately, it's led us to do all sorts of other things, spend all sorts of money that we would not otherwise have spent, buy things we didn't need or didn't want. fill our houses with clutter. And at the same time, of course, we've seen, you know, the rise in debt in this country is absolutely staggering.
Brett, we need to hold it there. Thank you so much for being with us. We'll follow your progress in the newspaper. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.